Lupus LA would like to thank our generous sponsors for their support of the Your Story, Our Fight podcast. Gemini Beauty believes in beauty for a cause, and in their case, the cause is lupus. The team at Gemini is changing the skincare game for good. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Lupus LA podcast, Your Story, Our Fight. I'm your host, Adam Selkowitz, and as always, I want to thank our sponsors, Gemini Beauty, at the top of the show, because it's so important that their support allows us to tell these incredible stories. And another incredible story we're telling today is Tiffany Peterson. Tiffany is the co-founder of lupuschat.org, and a lupus patient and an advocate. And I'm happy to have you on the show. Welcome to the podcast, Tiffany.
Thank you for having me.
So I know you were diagnosed as a teenager. And one of the things I want to talk about is sort of the pushback you got when you were first diagnosed. When we talked before, you said that people told you to stop looking for attention. So I think that resonated with me a lot. And I think it'll resonate with a lot of the younger people out there that listen to this podcast. So tell me a little bit about what your life was like before you were diagnosed.
So I was diagnosed about 13, 14 years ago, at the age of 24. But I can tell you that, you know, I had symptoms as young as like 16, 17, when I was in high school. And back then I was feeling like so many different symptoms, but predominantly it was more joint pain. And I was having like excruciating joint pain in like my wrists, my knees, my elbows. And it was just, I didn't understand like what was happening. And the only thing that I could associate it with was arthritis, because, you know, everyone knows that, like, you know, arthritis affects your joints. And so when I spoke to my doctor about it at the time, you know, he just really dismissed it. He was just like, you know, high schoolers, 18-year-olds, like, they don't get arthritis, you know, you're just looking for attention. And I was a little bit taken aback because, you know, I was just like, I know that the pain that I'm experiencing is not normal. But because, you know, my doctor said that it was not anything that I should be concerned about, I kind of just dismissed it because, you know, your doctor is supposed to know. So I just kind of dismissed it and just went on living my life.
Do you think that sort of changed your outlook on life? You know, I mean, did you just kind of accept pain as part of your daily routine?
I did. And, you know, unfortunately, I do feel like that's something that happens to women a lot in the healthcare system. You know, your concerns, especially when it's related to pain, are just kind of dismissed as like women issues. And so I just kind of, you know, accepted it and was just like, all right, well, I guess my doctor's right. He would know. I'll just take ibuprofen or Aleve. I think at the time I was just taking Aleve. So I was just like, you know, I take this for my cycle. I'll just take this for my joint pain. And I just kind of kept taking that any sort of time that I had pain back then.
And your family and friends, were they aware of how you felt?
Yeah, I talked to them about it all the time. I was always complaining about it. And they were just like, I don't get it. They didn't understand like why that was happening, and neither did I, but like it was just kind of pushed to the side. And I just kept moving on with my life. And I just thought that that's what life was like.
Mm-hmm. And so where were you? So this was finishing high school. And then what made you push a little harder for the actual diagnosis?
Well, I feel like I got to college. And my sister had told me, you know, you're taking so much over-the-counter medication, because every single time I had pain, I would just take Aleve or ibuprofen. And she was just like, you really, like, there are warnings on the back of that, on the back of those over-the-counter medications, you know, even though, like, it's common, like, you take them all the time and you should really, like, lay back on that. There are, you know, warnings in the back. And so, like, around college age, I stopped taking the Aleve. I was like, okay, I'll just power through, you know. But my symptoms started to gradually get worse, I think, after I stopped taking it. And so I was starting to experience like hair loss. and all kinds of different symptoms. I was getting brain fog. I was getting fatigued, and fatigue was like the one that was like really, really aggressive. I remember there was one day where I woke up and I like could not move without experiencing excruciating pain. Like I tried to move an arm, I tried to move a leg, and it was just so painful. I would start crying and I couldn't get out of bed. And I couldn't get out of bed for like about a month and a half to 2 months. Like I couldn't walk on my own. I couldn't get to the bathroom on my own. I couldn't feed myself. Like I had to have the support of my family in order to get me through those times. And at that time is when my mother was like, something is extremely wrong. We have to find out like what's happening. But at the time I didn't have health insurance. So she helped me get health insurance. And that's what led to me seeing like my primary care physician, who ran some tests and was like, you know, it looks like arthritis, but I'm not really sure. So I'm going to send you to a specialist. And when I got to the specialist did their tests and they were like, no, this is not arthritis. This is lupus.
Mm-hmm. What's it like being in pain and having to wait for the healthcare system to sort of catch up? In other words, what was that period like in terms of just the stress?
It's really hard to describe, but I just felt hopeless. I didn't understand what was happening to my body. I kept feeling like, you know, why am I feeling so lazy? Like, how come I can't get up and just get things done? I had to drop out of school at the time. I couldn't even get up to go to classes. And I just kept beating myself up about it. Like, why does my body feel like this? Like, why don't I have the energy to get up and do this? And I was just kind of tearing myself down about it because I just didn't understand what was happening to my body. And I feel like that's something that a lot of people can relate to. I didn't know what lupus was until I was diagnosed with it. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. I feel like that's the case for so many people when they're first diagnosed.
And did you drop out of college after the diagnosis or when you were experiencing all the symptoms?
It was before
you just couldn't.
Yeah, it was before the diagnosis when I was experiencing all the symptoms and not sure what it was. The symptoms were so aggressive. It took quite a little while for me to like actually get the diagnosis. That happened like maybe like a year or two before I was diagnosed.
Mm-hmm. And what were you studying at the time? What was the plan?
I was in school to be a marine biologist. I was going to school for marine science and biology.
So take me through kind of the mental approach you had to take, realizing that dream may not be gone, but that it was derailed.
I mean, it was devastating. You know, I was working full time. I was going to school full time. I was tutoring on my free time, tutoring grade schoolers and my free time. You know, I was living like such a robust life, and I was having a great time. So it was just really frustrating to like for everything to just come crashing down around me and not have any sort of idea of when things would get better in sight for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that I had to sort of let go of it at the time, but I think I was less focused on the things I had to let go of in the moments of the pain I was experiencing. It was just mm-hmm. all consuming. I couldn't think about anything besides like how my body was feeling and what I was going through.
It makes sense. Yeah, you don't even realize kind of the gravity of what you're experiencing until, because you're just so focused on the medical side. Okay, so you get this diagnosis. I assume they start treatment. What's the change once you have the right diagnosis?
Well, when I got the right diagnosis, I remember my mother and my father took me to the rheumatologist and they had to give me high dose steroids because I wasn't really able to be mobile on my own at that time. But you know, with the high dose steroids, I feel like that really helped me to sort of regain a little bit of mobility. And it took a little while for me to like get functioning again, like being able to walk again, being able to, like, you know, walk to the corner store, or walk down my block. You know, it took some time. When I was diagnosed and I first started treatment, I think I was just predominantly on steroids. And I think at the time of being diagnosed, I was just really scared and frustrated because I didn't know what lupus was and I didn't really understand it. And my doctor didn't really give me any sort of resources, like for where I could go to, like, learn a little bit more, or any sort of sense of community that I could seek. So I think around that time, I just got really angry. I was furious. Mm-hmm. I was just like, I'm diagnosed with this thing that I've never heard of before. I have no resources. I have no idea what my life is going to be like. The only thing that she really told me was that, like, I would have to be on medication for the rest of my life because there is no cure. And that was literally mm-hmm. like the only thing that just kept bouncing in my head, like that there's no cure. You literally have this condition for the rest of your life.
What's interesting about that is presumably with the prednisone, you started to feel better, but the diagnosis itself sort of gave you this low and this frustration and anger.
It definitely did.
Where did that cross and sort of, you know, once the treatment made you feel better, did that start helping you regain some of the positive attitude?
I feel like the treatment started to give me back a little bit of my mobility, but it wasn't really doing much as far as, like, my fatigue and all of those sorts of things. Some of my symptoms were improving, but I didn't feel like I had the best quality of life.
And so that probably keeps that anger simmering there.
Yeah, I was just furious. And I felt isolated. I felt so alone. Like, I didn't know anyone else who had lupus. No one in my family had ever heard of it before I got diagnosed with it. And I have a large family. So I just didn't understand. But those emotions is what pushed me to, like, get online and try and find out some sort of information for myself. I was already really active on social media. And in the time period leading up to my official diagnosis, I was already online socially because I couldn't really move out of bed. So, like, I used the internet to sort of socialize with friends and family.
Were you sharing your struggles at that point, or was it more sort of just social with kind of a mask over the actual reason why you're in bed, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, I wasn't really talking about what I was, you know, personally experiencing before the diagnosis. I was just kind of socializing with friends, and maybe I would complain about some of the pain I'm having. But it was, you know, it was after that diagnosis is when I really started sharing, because I was a social person. I was spending so much time with friends and family. And then all of a sudden I disappeared, and, like, my friends and family were like, where are you? Like, what's going on? And after I got my diagnosis is when I was like, okay, I'm going to go online and share what's going on. I have such a large family. I have 15 aunts and uncles. And so I was just like, I'm just going to update my Facebook and let everyone know at once. I can't take the time to call everyone individually. So I was like, I'm just going to update my Facebook and let everyone know, like, what's going on with me. And that's what I did. And from there, I started looking up lupus on all the other platforms and trying to see if there was anyone else who was talking about it. And that's where I found community.
So I'm going to stop there. We're going to take a quick break, to pop in a commercial here, and then we're going to talk about kind of phase two, you know, once you started Lupus Chat and how that's helped you and where you are today. So we're going to be right back, and we'll finish our conversation right after this.
Lupus LA's fellowship program is an essential part of ensuring the training of future rheumatologists. The nation is experiencing a serious shortage of pediatric rheumatologists. Today, there are approximately 300,000 children diagnosed with rheumatic conditions in the United States, but only about 250 practicing pediatric rheumatologists to meet this tremendous need.
Hello and welcome back to the Your Story, Our Fight podcast. I am your host, Adam Selkowitz, and we are continuing our conversation with Tiffany Peterson, one of the founders of Lupus Chat. So when we left off, we were talking about how you shared your story personally on social media to your 15 aunts and uncles and rest of your extended family and your friends. And so tell me the response to that. I assume a lot of people are shocked. But I would also assume, correct me if I'm wrong, that the support you got was really surprising or a game changer. Or tell me what it was like.
So, you know, there were a lot of questions. Everyone was just like, wait, what? Like they didn't know what lupus was. And I was just like, you know, trying to explain it as best as I could. And just like really explaining to them, like, you know, life is a little bit different. I have to do things differently. I was still learning, you know, like how to take care of myself. It took me a while to learn that, like, okay, if you push past this boundary that your body has, if you, you know, when people go to the gym, they're just like, you know, when you feel that burn, you got to keep going, you got to keep pushing past it. And so I felt like, you know, I still had that kind of mindset. And so it took me a while to figure out that, like, no, if you push past the point where your body really is giving you warning signs, that you're going to have severe reactions after that. It took some time, and I had to like really explain that to my friends. Like, no, I can't go out and stay out all night and go party hopping and start drinking. Like, I can't do any of those things. Mm-hmm. And it was really hard for some of them to understand. But there were a lot of people who were really supportive. Like, my family was really, really supportive. A lot of my friends were really supportive. The year I was diagnosed, I think I did the lupus walk, and I had like all my friends and family who came and supported me during my first lupus walk, which was amazing. And I just really felt like supported.
Tell me what it was like when you found an online community and this was obviously several years ago, so it's different than it is now, but what did that mean to you when you connected with people who had your same experience?
It was an amazing experience. Like, it took me a while to figure out, like, you know, oh wow, there's this other person in a different part of, you know, the world or the country that also is experiencing the same thing I'm experiencing. And I did feel like less alone. I was able to talk about like the symptoms that I was going through. You know, there were also moments where like there were some family members who just couldn't accept, you know, that I had this condition. And so I feel like, you know, with a diagnosis like lupus, you really learn who your friends and family are. And you know, in a time where I was really finding out who my real friends and family were, there were a lot of people who, you know, are no longer in my life from that point. And I felt like finally someone understands exactly what I'm going through. And I was able to just talk to a couple of different people to really understand what their experiences were, because they had lupus a little bit longer than me. So it was really amazing. That I didn't have to start from like ground zero to be able to connect with someone who had the same shared experience and could kind of sort of like be a little bit of a guide was a really great thing.
And what made you want to, I guess, be a part of the system in terms of starting Lupus Chat, and how did that come about?
Well, I feel like, you know, when I was diagnosed, I felt so alone and isolated, and I didn't want that to be someone else's experience. I was like, what I went through when I was first diagnosed was really frustrating and it was really heartbreaking. And if I could do something that would change that experience for someone else who was diagnosed with lupus, then that would just make a world of a difference. I wanted to sort of like be the support for someone else that I didn't have at the time when I was diagnosed. And, you know, at that time I was blogging, I was talking about, I was talking about lupus on like all social platforms, and just really just kind of updating, also just to let my family and friends know like what I was going through, what I was experiencing, and just like my journey along the way. And what ended up happening is, you know, I guess other people were also trying to find community. And so that was like sort of the connecting link there, is that we were all online looking for community. And, you know, as with lupus, a lot of us, sometimes we don't have that mobility that we wish that we did. And so social media is really, you know, a primary outlet for us in order to connect with each other.
So tell me about Lupus Chat. Tell me how it works and who you're partnered with. And
yeah,
and,
so and Lupus
what
Chat,
is, what it's doing.
Lupus Chat was founded in 2012, and it predominantly takes place on Twitter. We have what's called a tweet chat conversation, and it happens every other Sunday from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern time. I have three co-hosts. There's Carly, who is another lupus patient that I found on Twitter. There's Christelle. I actually met Christelle in person at a, I would say a lupus educational event that was hosted by the Lupus Research Alliance. And then there's also Elizabeth, who happens to be a caregiver. Her daughter was diagnosed with lupus. So, you know, we have a patient, but also a caregiver perspective. And so we have these discussions every other Sunday, and they're primarily focused on lupus. But sometimes we have what we call chronic coalition discussions, in which we partner with another disease-specific organization that might be like about Sjögren's or celiac disease. Because as we know, people with lupus also have overlapping conditions. So we really try to sort of like create community, not only for lupus patients, but just for people with chronic conditions in general.
And how many people are in these chats on a you know, sort of an average basis?
It varies. I would say over the years, sometimes we've had like about 20 to 25 people. I think one of our largest conversations, we had 96 people. We've been really supported by the healthcare professional community. We've had a lot of physicians join our conversations. And I found that that was just such a really great resource for patients, because there's a lot of misinformation online about lupus and just about healthcare in general. So being able to provide credible health information for other patients was just really an amazing feat for us.
And so providing that, what's been the response you've gotten from other lupus patients? You know, how do you feel when you get a message from another lupus patient about how much you've become their community, which is something you didn't have when you were diagnosed? How important is that to you?
It's extremely important to me. It makes me feel like, you know, the advocacy work that I've been doing over the years is really making an impact. You know, Lupus Chat it happens online. So like anyone can join no matter where you are. We have a lot of community members from different countries. We have some people from Spain, some people from Brazil, some people from Africa, some from the UK. There are people who join from all these different places. And, you know, we've asked them on several occasions, you know, where else do they get their, you know, where else do they find community? And for a lot of people, Lupus Chat is the only time that they have to find community. A lot of them don't have like in-person support groups or a local lupus organization that they can go to for support. So to know that we're actually providing that community and that support and that education around lupus for so many people is just an amazing feeling.
Excellent. And tell me about your life now outside of Lupus Chat. Where have you landed? What has happened now since you've gotten your disease more manageable?
I would say that, you know, I've sort of become like a professional patient, and sort of just using, you know, my knowledge and my experience, just to sort of, you know, help others along the way. I've been able to be an advisor to different organizations, to let them know exactly, you know, what kinds of things that patients are looking for, what kind of things would best benefit our communities. And it's, I feel like I've done something positive, you know, out of something that could have been so negative. You know, I took the pain that I had, and I put it towards a higher purpose.
Mm-hmm. You definitely have. And I appreciate you sharing that with us. And, it means a lot that I think to other people for you to share that story and for them to know what, if they're in that sort of darker place that you were at when you were diagnosed, that there's hope and that there is that community out there, which I think is so, so important. How can people find Lupus Chat?
So you can find us. You can find us on Twitter. Our handle is at Lupus Chat. It's at LUPUS_CHAT. You can find us on Twitter. We also have an online website, lupuschat.org. But you can also find me personally on Twitter at Tiffany and Lupus or on Instagram at Tiffany and Lupus. I would love for you guys to join our conversations. We have many different discussions about, you know, how lupus affects pregnancy, how lupus affects kidney health, you know, how to manage relationships with lupus. We have so many different types of discussions, and we always ask people to suggest topics. So if there's something that, you know, you want to have discussed or you want to find a little bit more information about, we're always accepting topic suggestions for future chats. So I would definitely encourage you to reach out and let us know what it is that you want Lupus Chat to be talking about next.
Fantastic. Well, I wish you the best of luck, Tiffany. Hopefully you have a lot of new people coming to the chat after they listen to this podcast. And I appreciate you sharing your story with us at Lupus LA.
Thank you for having me.
On behalf of the entire team at Lupus LA, we thank you for joining the Your Story, Our Fight podcast. Please tune in, spread the word, and come back for more inspiring lupus stories. I'm your host, Adam Selkowitz, wishing you good health, and to always remember, your story is our fight.